Today is a very important day in the history of God's people. This Sunday, as I've already referenced, is Pentecost Sunday, where the Church Universal will celebrate its birthday, if you will. Now, most Christians could never imagine not celebrating Christmas or Easter. I mean, after all, celebrating one celebrates the birth of Christ while the other celebrates the resurrection. So if I were to announce this morning that Green Forest United Methodist Church will no longer observe Christmas or Easter anymore, then you could rightfully claim that we would be turning our back on events that are essential to our understanding of what it means to be a Christian. But there is a third holiday that is just as important. But unfortunately, it seems to be not as celebrated. Likewise, though, it has just as much impact on our understanding of the Christian faith as well as what it means to be the church as the others do. You see, Pentecost Sunday is not something solely owned by those who worship in Pentecostal denominations, just like baptism is not solely owned by those who claim that they are Baptist. Every confessing Christian should hold this day as in high regard as you do the other Christian holidays. This sacred event not only secures theological paradigms that are held in common by all denominations, like the coming of the Holy Spirit, but it also details truths that are not specifically spelled out within the text I'm referencing is Acts chapter 2. So today, I want you to know, I'm celebrating that the gift of the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon all humanity. I'm celebrating that I have gifts of the Holy Spirit to use not only within conjunction of your gifts for this community, but that I also have fruit of the Holy Spirit to guide my character and conscience within the framework and guidelines that are specifically and directly parallel to that of Christ our Lord. And I say all that, but I want you to know that our sermon time today is not going to focus so much on those aspects as it is on the aspects of the story that are not specifically mentioned, but are definitely witnessed within the characters of the text that we're going to read. So I want to invite you this morning to please, please read with me. If you have your Bible, open it to Acts chapter 2. If you want to use a Bible in the pew, turn to page 883. If you're going to use neither one, then I want to ask you to read the scriptures on the screen behind me. And please, this morning, friends, don't let them simply be black letters on white paper. Allow them to embrace your heart, your spirit, and your mind. So again, we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read 21 verses out of that chapter. So please join along with me. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, "When Pentecost day arrived," well, they were all together in one place, meaning the disciples, "suddenly a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak." Verse 5 says, "There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, 'Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language?'" You see, there were Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism. The list goes on saying there was also Cretans and Arabs. And the uniqueness of their claim was that each one was hearing them declaring the mighty works of God in their own languages. Verse 12 says, they were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, what does this mean? Others jeered at them, saying, they're just full of wine. Peter stood with the other 11 apostles, and he raised his voice and declared, Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully, he says, to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It is our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church that when we conclude a passage of scriptures, we say, this is the word of God for the people of God. And I'll respond saying, thanks be to God. I want to ask if you would please join me in a short prayer. Almighty God, we come this morning here with open hearts and minds to be refreshed, to be renewed, to be recentered by the power of your word and the power of your Holy Spirit. As we celebrate the day of Pentecost and look at this passage of scriptures, may the power of the Holy Ghost bring about a revelation within each of us this morning. May our time of worship today cause us to be transformed people. This I pray in the precious holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, let me offer a little irony to the story. You see, just 53 days later from this Pentecost day, the Peter that we just read about, the one who raised his voice and proclaimed the power of God being poured out upon all, is the same Peter who claimed he never knew Jesus. This is the very same Peter who had nothing to say about Jesus when someone asked him directly if he was one of the followers of the Christ. Yet Peter, on this day of Pentecost, stood before a crowd that consisted of many he once feared. In fact, many theologians believe that Peter stood before a multitude of those who actually shouted, "Crucify him!" on that day that Jesus stood trial before Pontius Pilate in the city of Jerusalem. Now, one of the unspoken truths within our text that I want us to see this morning is the transformation that can happen to us when we allow the power of the Holy Spirit to control our lives. For the Holy Spirit is the transforming agent that impacts a person completely, heart, soul, strength, and mind. And when the transformation begins, it attacks the fundamental tenets of our beliefs. I mean by saying that it will cause us to reevaluate what we value. It will even change our priorities. And please don't misunderstand me. I'm not hinting about conforming to something. Conforming to boundaries or boundary markers are a necessity for one's journey of faith, I believe. But that doesn't identify authentic transformation. There's a theologian I like to read. He wrote an article a few years back talking about how he grew up in a church with boundary markers. And this is what he says. He said, a prideful or resentful pastor could have kept his job, but if ever that pastor was caught smoking a cigarette, he would have been fired. Not because anyone in the church actually thought smoking a worse sin than pride or resentment, but because smoking defined who was in our subculture and who wasn't. It was a boundary marker. He goes on to say, as I was growing up, having a quiet time became a boundary marker for him, a measure of spiritual growth. If someone had asked me about my spiritual life, he says, I would immediately think, have I been having regular and lengthy quiet time? You see, he says, my initial thought was not, am I growing more loving toward God and toward other people? But have I done this boundary marker that I have put in my mind that identifies me as being a person of piety? I'll skip the rest of it and just share a conclusion of the article. He said, boundary markers change from culture to culture, but the dynamic remains the same. If people do not experience authentic transformation, then their faith will deteriorate into a search for the boundary markers that can masquerade as evidence of a changed life. Now you may say, well, preacher, why are you sharing me that? Because I want you to know, friends, when we look at Peter in this text, Peter's life was transformed before our very eyes, evident that his love of Christ was superior to his love for himself. On this day, in the recording of Acts chapter 2, Peter was no longer concerned about being persecuted. Fear for his own safety was void. And please hear me, friends. I'm not implying to you that Peter had a change of mind. I'm trying to get you to understand and grasp that he had an authentic transformation. In fact, each of the disciples portray for us this authentic transformation by the fact that they were standing present with Peter. You see, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that authentic transformation is something that happens internally and then manifests externally. So if you're living the same life that you were living when you accepted Christ yesterday or 100 years ago, then you need to ask yourself, have you actually had any type of authentic transformation? If something hasn't changed inside to manifest the way you live differently outside, then have you really been transformed? Have you been touched by the power of the Holy Spirit? Or have you bought into the lies? I'm going to say lies, forgive me. Have you bought into the myths of religiosity that as long as you have walked the aisle and you've said the sinner's prayer, you've got your get out of hell for free card, and that's all that really matters, and you can live like hell the rest of the time until you stand before Jesus and said, don't you remember that day back in 1942 when I walked the aisle at Green Forest United Methodist Church at 10 o'clock that morning? Authentic transformation happens internally and is manifested externally. And that's what we see that is not specifically put in the text of what we just read. None of those black letters on white paper ever used the word transformation. But thanks be to God, we can see it within the description of the life of those we hold in high regard, we call the apostles of Jesus Christ. Again, I highlight these things to remind us of the unspoken truths within the text on a personal or individual level. But there's also another part that I want to touch on before I conclude that this morning, and that is this. And friends, I'm going to tell you something. I have read this story. I mean, this is one of those redundant stories every year, right? Like the story of Easter, like the story of Christmas. You know, it is a, you know, you're not going to go to church and hear any different scriptures read at Christmas time. You're not going to hear any different stories read on Easter. It's always going to be the same context, either Jesus' birth or his death and resurrection. Likewise, it is the same on Pentecost. But this Pentecost Sunday, in my preparation, God gave me a new revelation that is not shared in the text as far as with verbiage, but is to be experienced as you allow the Word of God to come alive within your heart. This is what I saw. On this day, when the disciples were transformed, so was the city of Jerusalem. On this day, when the disciples were transformed, so was the city of Jerusalem. The portions of scriptures that we have not read said that on that day, 3,000 were added to their fold. And on the portion we did read, we read about ethnic groups that had opposing ideologies, philosophies, and theology about life. And yet there was a unity that come about through the power of the Holy Spirit. What's your point, preacher? If you want to live in a country where the poor are not continuously cursed by that generational being passed down from life to from generation to generation, if you want to live in a country where kids aren't shooting kids or people aren't being killed because of the color of their skin, if you want to live in a nation where evil is not as prevalent in our TV or in your mind as is the causes of Christ, it won't be transformed until you and I are transformed and we bring about the transformation. Oh, I know. That's not the Pentecost sermon we want to hear, is it? But it's the truth. You don't like the way things are going in Green Forest, Carroll County, state of Arkansas, the United States? Well, begin to live the change you want to see. You want things to be transformed? Then you're going to have to spend some time in your prayer closet allowing the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation within you, and then allowing that transformation to be manifested externally as you live and walk out your faith daily. Again, the world is transformed as we are transformed. One preacher wrote, "The transformation of the world isn't a political or social or cultural program, although the Lord knows and embraces them." He goes on to say, "The transformation of the world isn't a moral or ethical program, although the Lord knows it embraces them. At the end of the day, the transformation of the world is just this: living as if loving God and loving our neighbors were really the most important things in the world." Oh, I know. I know how. Listen, as a preacher, I get it. It's so easy to mark that up as some kind of a overused slogan for the church. But the truth in our text reflects that this specific time in history, when the world was transformed by the followers of Jesus Christ, was in concert with the moment that they experienced transformation. And we can't deny that. When you and I celebrate with those who are joyful, the world is transformed. When we reach out and comfort those who mourn, The kingdom of God breaks through the pain, the sorrow, and the grief of an experience and makes it holy. When we achieve peace with our fellow human beings, the world is no longer our mundane, sinful place. When we bridge the gap with others, helping them to find a life of purpose, passion, and pursuit of God, then the brokenness of humanity becomes less. When we recognize the sacrifices of those who gave all they have for others, we see a world changing before our very own eyes. Why is Pentecost Sunday so important? Well, for me this year, it's because I've come to the realization that the world will only be as transformed as Michael Bolden is. The world will be only as transformed as Green Forest United Methodist Church. Yes. Because when I am sanctified, when you are sanctified, the world is sanctified. Every time a new soul comes to the knowledge and embracement of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the world is saved in another miraculous way as the excitement and the newness of that new life is told by every person that individual comes in contact with. Likewise, the world is saved when we live out the saving qualities defined in the ministry and mission of Jesus. Pentecost Sunday is the day we remember the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that each of us will honor this day by opening our hearts to allow the grace of God to continue to bring transformation within each of us, so that we will begin to live the change we want to see for God's world. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.